Good morning. This is Beatrice Pavia with the Bloomington Pantograph, dated Monday, May 29th, 2017. Hello to all of our veterans out there, and thank you for your service. We will begin today's reading on the front page with an article about Memorial Day titled, Sisters Recall Father's Contributions to the War Effort. It's datelined Waynesville. While Memorial Day is a time to remember veterans who gave their lives for our country, two Central Illinois sisters remind us that many others also made sacrifices to secure our freedom. A lot of people risked their lives for the World War II effort, said Phyllis Granisher of Waynesville. She and her sister, Mabel Hutchins of Ellsworth, remember good times and bad growing up during the early 1940s. At the time, they were children, about 5 and 6 years old. Being a kid during the war wasn't good, Hutchins said. Their father, Philip Park, was one of more than 10,000 Illinois residents employed at two ammunition plants built in the state in 1940. One was based near Kankakee, and the second, known as the Joliet Arsenal, was located near Elwood, south of Joliet. While he went to work at Elwood, we waited with our mother in Colfax, Granisher said. When the government completed the trailer court for the workers and their families, we moved to Wilmington to join him. According to the website devoted to the history of the Joliet Army Ammunition Plant, the Elwood facility loaded more than 926 million bombs, shells, mines, detonators, fuses, and boosters during World War II. The men and women who worked at these plants put their lives on the line every day, Granisher said. Each plant's primary concern was safety. But early on the morning on June 5, 1942, something went terribly wrong in Elwood. The United Press reported on the incident a day later. An explosion shattered buildings of one of the units of the $30 million Elwood Ordnance Plant and gave up the bodies of 21 workers Friday, the wire service reported. Army officials said 36 more were missing from the blast that could be felt for a radius of 100 miles. Another 41 were injured, five of them critically, from the explosion that leveled a building. Not one of the 68 men inside the shipping unit when the blast occurred escaped death or injury. According to a story published a week later in the Pantograph, 49 people died from the blast and 67 were injured. Families of the dead received compensation of between $4,000 and $5,500, depending on the number of children in the family. Amounts of up to $4,000 were sent to those who were injured, depending on the severity of their injuries. Following the war, the Army described the incident as one of the deadliest explosions at an ammunition plant during World War II. The blast occurred at 2:45 a.m., but fortunately for Park, he was assigned to the day shift and was not at the plant when the explosion happened. The blast put one of the 12 production units out of action temporarily, but operations continued in the others. The memory of the explosion remains with both women as they reflected on their childhood. We have good and bad memories of that time, Granisher said. During the war, everyone suffered because some products were rationed, Hutchins added. It was a much different time. I remember walking on old Route 66 when it was new Route 66. But it was the hard work of Americans and the dedication of the American labor force behind the scenes that also should be recognized, in addition to those who fought in combat overseas, Granisher said. All of the workers, men and women who were unable to join the armed forces, were able to do their part and help win the war by supplying the materials our troops needed, she said. Freedom is never free, and I want to thank all of the workers in the ammunition plants during World War II and all of the workers employed in our plants today. Our next story, also on Memorial Day, is headlined, "To Many, Memorial Day Has Lost Meaning. Some Veterans Wish Holiday Commanded More Respect in the U.S." It is datelined Annville, Pennsylvania. Allison Jaslow heard it more than once as the long holiday weekend approached, a cheerful Happy Memorial Day from oblivious well-wishers. The former Army captain and Iraq War veteran had a ready reply, telling them matter-of-factly that she considered it a work weekend. Jaslow will be at Arlington National Cemetery today to take part in the annual wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. She will then visit Section 60, the final resting place of many service members who died in Iraq and Afghanistan. You can see it in people's faces that they're a little horrified that they forget this is what the day's about, said Jaslow, age 34, who wears a bracelet bearing the name of a fallen comrade. Culturally, we've kind of lost sight of what the day is supposed to mean. While millions of Americans celebrate the long Memorial Day weekend as the unofficial start of the summer, think beaches and backyard barbecues, mattress sales and sporting events, some veterans and loved ones of fallen military members wish the holiday that honors more than 1 million people who died serving their country would command more respect, or at least awareness. "It's a fun holiday for people. Let's party. It's an extra day off from work," said Carol Resch, age 61, whose son, Army Captain Mark Resch, was killed in Iraq a decade ago. "It's not that they're doing it out of malice. It just hasn't affected them." Veterans groups say a growing military-civilian disconnect contributes to a feeling that Memorial Day has been overshadowed. More than 12% of the U.S. population served in the armed forces during World War II. That's down to less than 0.5% today, guaranteeing more Americans aren't personally acquainted with a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine. With an all-voluntary military, shared sacrifice is largely a thing of the past, even as U.S. troops remain in Afghanistan and Iraq nearly 16 years after 9/11. "There are a lot of things working against this particular holiday," said Brian Duffy, Commander-in-Chief of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. "It hurts," Duffy said. "For combat veterans and Gold Star families especially, it hurts that as a society we don't truly understand and appreciate what the true meaning of Memorial Day is." Jaslow's group, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, is trying to raise its awareness with its hashtag GoSilent campaign, which encourages Americans to pause for a moment of silence at 3 p.m. today to remember the nation's war dead. Of course, plenty of Americans already observe the holiday. At Indian Town Gap National Cemetery in Annville, about 100 miles northwest of Philadelphia, fresh flowers mark hundreds of graves, and fields of newly erected American flags flap in the breeze. Hundreds of motorcyclists thundered in for a Saturday service. Jim Segletis, age 65, a Vietnam-era Marine visiting the grave of his father-in-law, a World War II veteran who died in 2000, said he thinks Americans became more patriotic and aware of military sacrifice after 9/11. "Everyone is more in tune with veterans, more so than when I was in the service," he said. Douglas and Renee Kicklighter, Iraq veterans at the cemetery with their 10 and 12-year-old sons, said they believe most people understand what the holiday is about, but they too cringe when they hear "Happy Memorial Day." "It's not happy," said Renee Kicklighter, age 37, who retired from the Army National Guard. "It's somber. I try to flip the lens on the conversation a bit and gently remind them what it's really about." Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day, was conceived after the Civil War as a way to honor the Union's war dead, with Southern states setting aside separate days to honor fallen Confederate soldiers. By the early 20th century, the holiday had evolved to honor all military members who died in service. Some veterans say Memorial Day began to be watered down more than four decades ago when Congress changed the date from its traditional May 30th to the last Monday in May to give people a three-day weekend. That leaves it to people like Resch, the Gold Star mother, to spread the message. Invited to speak to high school students in Allentown, Pennsylvania, she said she told them, "What is the true meaning of Memorial Day?" Ask any Gold Star family, and they'll tell you what it means. It's not about the picnics. It's about the men and women who have given their lives for this country. Every day is Memorial Day for us. Our next story is titled, Donations Needed to Curb Drop in Blood. Red Cross says supply declines in the summer. Dateline Bloomington. On a day when Americans honor servicemen and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice, the American Red Cross invites Central Illinoisans to consider making a potentially life-saving contribution. The blood supply typically declines during summer, so now would be a good time for people to make an appointment to make a donation. We are urging those who have never given before and those who have to give now, said Laura McGuire, Red Cross External Biomedical Communications Manager for Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Blood and platelet donations are going out to hospitals almost as quickly as they come in, said McGuire. All blood types are needed. While there is a need for blood now, Red Cross is concerned that it could become more acute as summer nears when donations typically decline while the need remains constant. Many blood donors give less frequently during summer because of vacations and because there are no high school and college drives during summer, McGuire said. School and college drives account for 20% of blood donations during the school year. While 38% of the population is eligible to donate blood, less than 10% of them do, McGuire said. People who are at least 17 years old, weigh at least 110 pounds, and are healthy may be eligible to donate blood. Red Cross supplies about 40% of the nation's blood supply. Among people who may need blood are accident and burn victims, heart surgery and organ transplant patients, and people receiving treatment for leukemia, cancer, or sickle cell disease. Because donated blood is good for only 42 days, and platelets are good for only 5 days, there always is a need, McGuire said. Red Cross is celebrating 100 years of service in Central Illinois and is marking that occasion by turning its 18th annual Friends and Family Drive into a 100 Pints for 100 Years blood drive. That drive, conducted in partnership with the Pantograph, will be noon to 6 p.m., June 7th and 8th, in the J.C. Penney Wing at Eastland Mall, 1615 East Empire Street in Bloomington. The goal is to collect 100 pints of blood. There is no better way to celebrate this occasion, the Red Cross Central Illinois Centennial, than by helping the Red Cross maintain a sufficient blood supply, said Lynn Ruska, Red Cross Central and Southern Illinois Region CEO, in a prepared statement. People can make an appointment for any Red Cross blood drive by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app, by visiting www.redcrossblood.org, or by calling 800-733-2767. Eligible donors who live in parts of Tazewell and Logan counties, served by the Central Illinois Community Blood Center, can visit www.cicbc.org or call 866-448-3253. In today's Daily Digest is a short article titled Expungement Workshop Set for June 1st, Dateline Bloomington. A free expungement workshop for people to learn how to clear or seal their criminal record will be 1 to 6 p.m. June 1st at the United Way of McLean County at 201 East Grove Street. The Fresh Start Workshop is co-sponsored by United Way, Illinois Wesleyan University, and the YWCA McLean County. People are asked to bring a copy of their criminal record to the workshop. More information is available at jcarrillo@ywcamclean.org or phone 309-662-0461, extension 265. And also, we have a short notice on a road closure. Willow Street in Normal, between Fell Avenue and School Street, will be closed to through traffic from 7 a.m. Tuesday through Friday for utility construction associated with the Lodge 2 apartment project. Through traffic should use College Avenue and Mulberry Street or other east-west routes. In the local section of the Pantograph, there is a story titled Parade and Services Are Part of Area Observances. Here are some observances that have occurred today. Memorial Day will be commemorated throughout Central Illinois on Monday to honor those who have died fighting America's wars. The annual McLean County Labor Day Parade kicks off at 9 a.m. and will proceed from Front Street through downtown Bloomington, then to Miller Park. There will be two ceremonies after the parade. At the park bandstand, the keynote address will be given by Senior Vice Commander Robert L. Henderson of the American Legion Department of Illinois. A second ceremony will be at the Korean Vietnam Memorial. Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 454 will hold a service to honor John H. Krause, a McLean County soldier killed in World War I, for whom the post was named. That is at 11:45 a.m. at Danvers Cemetery. American Legion Post 635 will have a ceremony at 12:15 p.m. at Evergreen Memorial Cemetery. And other area communities also are marking Memorial Day. All services are Monday. These will already have taken place by the time you hear this, but we wanted to let you know what was happening in the area. In Atlanta, the Veterans Memorial Ceremony and Atlanta Band Concert will begin at 10 a.m. on the lawn of the Atlanta Public Library. This year's speaker is William Kindred, a 1967 Atlanta High School graduate who served in the Air Force for several decades. In Delavan, the Delavan Green Valley American Legion Post 382 Memorial Day service will be at 11 a.m. at the National Guard Armory at 206 East 3rd Street in Delavan. The Reverend Gene Sparks of Delavan First Presbyterian Church will speak. In Hopedale, the new Hopedale Area Veterans Memorial will be dedicated at noon in the 100 block of Grove Street. The keynote speaker is astronaut Scott Altman. In Lincoln, a service begins at 10:30 a.m. at American Legion Post 263. Dan Benedict, superintendent of the Logan County Veterans Assistance Commission, will speak. In Minunk, the American Legion Post 142 in Minunk will host its annual service at 10 a.m. at Fieldcrest High School Gymnasium in Minunk. There will be speakers and music hosted by the school. In Saybrook, the Saybrook American Legion Post 427 and Sons of the American Legion Post 427 will conduct Memorial Day services at 9 a.m. at Riverside Cemetery and at 10 a.m. at the Township Cemetery. And lastly, in Secor, a service will be at 10:30 a.m. at Secor Cemetery on U.S. 24, just outside of town. This next story is titled, Driverless Cars Are the Target of Morton Company. Dateline Morton. Where driverless cars are concerned, the future is almost here, and a major player in making the groundbreaking change in our culture a reality is based in Morton. Autonomous Stuff was founded by Bobby Hambrick 7 years ago when the Central Illinois native launched the business from a spare bedroom in his home. Today, it's grown to an international company employing 40 people. "We will double that number soon," he said, "in Silicon Valley, Detroit, and China. I am proud to say that we have provided more products and solutions to more customers for automated driving than any other company in the world," Hambrick said. "We work with nearly every company out there involved in automotive automation." Hambrick's company began with the goal of closing the gaps in the industry's supply chain by locating equipment suppliers and buying sensors in large quantities. He would then sell them to customers in smaller quantities and at less expensive prices because autonomous stuff bought in bulk. "I built and managed the website, did my own shipping and receiving, sales, tech support, and so on," Hambrick said. "Then I upgraded to a nicely finished barn in the backyard for about a year with 4 or 5 employees. The company grew from there to its current location on Erie Avenue off Interstate 155, complete with a research park used for developing new software applications for driverless vehicles. In 2016, we launched our automated research and development vehicle platforms that are shipping all over the world and have been a huge success," Hambrick said. "We have built nearly 100 of them in the last 12 months. Autonomous Stuff began by using a Lincoln MKZ as its working prototype car, outfitted with the robotic and sensor equipment necessary to pilot on its own through electronic commands. The company has recently expanded to the use of lower-cost vehicles such as Ford Fusion, Polaris GEM electric car, and Polaris Ranger off-road vehicle. Before testing of the car systems is conducted, much time is spent scouting self-driving technologies from around the world and bringing them to Morton. Testing is done on site, first conducting simulations and then in private controlled environments. I consider our team experts in all the technologies needed for self-driving, as well as bringing together the world's best technologies," he said. "It's actually an amazing experience to sit back and let the car take over the controls." A 1998 graduate of East Peoria High School, Hambrick described himself as always owning an internal entrepreneurial spirit and began his first business, a lawn mowing and landscaping venture, in his early teens. The next story is titled, Healing Rides Rolls Along. Program for elderly and those with disabilities is seeking more guests. Dateline Bloomington. Healing Rides is beginning its third season of providing bike rides on Constitution Trail with new partners and continued enthusiasm. Using specially designed wheelchair bikes, volunteers take the elderly and people with disabilities on trips lasting about 45 minutes. "It's not just the ride," said founder Bob Brown of Bloomington. "The volunteers talk to the people, they listen to their stories. Maybe it's a story they've told their family 1,000 times, but we haven't heard it." Last year, the group, a service ministry of Wesley United Methodist Church, provided 80 rides. Brown would like to see that grow. In addition to Westminster Village and Meadows at Mercy Creek, Healing Rides has added SOAR, Special Opportunities Available in Recreation, as a partner. Maggie Rutenbeck, a program manager with SOAR, said she was looking into becoming a Healing Rides volunteer, and when she asked about SOAR participants receiving rides, Brown greeted the idea with open arms. "It's an opportunity to embrace nature and get the feel of the ride," said Rutenbeck. "There's something about riding a bike that's kind of like flying." With someone else responsible for the actual balance part of it, this lends itself to people who might not otherwise get to have that experience, she said. Healing rides are not limited to people from those partners. Rides are available at 1 p.m. and 2 p.m., Tuesday through Sunday, starting June 1. Get more information at healingrides.com and schedule a ride by calling 309-827-8046. "It's literally healing through fresh air and sunshine," said Brown, a cancer survivor who was inspired by a similar program in Nantucket, Massachusetts. Angela Roop Lawler, one of the newest among the program's 14 volunteers, understands the impact more than most. When her father, Frank Roop, was stricken with pancreatic cancer, she said, "I tried to come up with something that would give him some joy." He was able to take 3 rides with Healing Rides before he died last July. "To me, it means so much," said Roop Lawler. The smile on his face was priceless. "She decided to become a volunteer because I want to be able to do that for somebody else," she said. People in Bloomington Normal aren't the only ones wanting to do that for somebody else. After Healing Rides was featured recently in Rails to Trails magazine, Brown said, "Little did I know I'd be getting hundreds of emails from people interested in learning more." Brown credits the community for the program's continued success. "They have just opened their arms to us in so many ways," she said. "I believe when something is good and God gets a hold of it, you just get out of the way and go with it," said Brown. Trips leave from the Healing Rides base at 716 East Empire Street, where Eric Prenzler has donated space in a storage facility he owns. Bloomington Cycle and Fitness has donated helmets and helps maintain the cycles. The program has 2 Duet wheelchair bikes that have a battery assist that provides a boost, particularly for getting started and going up hills. The bikes, costing about $10,000 each, were purchased through donations. Their safety equipment includes a seat belt and chest harness for the passenger, along with front disc and rear coaster brakes. Our next short story is from the On Duty section, U.S. Air Force, Dateline Bloomington. U.S. Air Force Air National Guard Airman First Class Michael A. Guy has graduated from basic military training at Joint Base San Antonio Lackland in San Antonio, Texas. Guy is the son of Jeff J. Smith of Bloomington and Becky M. Guy of Peoria, and brother of Tyler R. Guy in Bloomington. He is a 2010 graduate of Bloomington High School. And 100 years ago today, on May 29, 1917, workmen were digging a well on a city lot when they came across a tree limb 60 feet down. It had obviously been there a long time and was such a novelty that it was taken to City Hall. The work on the well continues. It will be 70 feet deep. And 75 years ago today, on May 29, 1942, the Stanford Church of God will open its new building this Sunday. It was built by the hands of members who worked a better deal for themselves than a city contractor could offer. The Reverend R. R. Neff, himself a carpenter, is the general contractor.